40 yet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's start. Okay. Bottom of Dalet Amud Beis. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Ava pi shakara adam kriyat shema beis hakneses. Even if somebody already said kriyat shema shel arvis and shul, mitzvah lekroso amitaso. It's a mitzvah to read it again on his bed, kriyat shema amita. Not because he wasn't yotzei kriyat shema yet, it sounds like, because he was, he did it after tzeis. But stam to read it again on his bed before he goes to sleep. I'm Rabbi Yossi, what's the pasuk that's the source for this? Mikra. Rigzu v'al techata'u. Fight. Tremble and fight. V'al techata'u and don't sin. Imru bilvavchem. There's something you need to do. You need to do imru bilvavchem. What's that? Say the parsha that says in the words alav avecha, which is Shema. Imru bilvavchem. Say that parsha that has the words alav avecha. Imru bilvavchem. Al mishkavotechem. On your bed. V'domu sela, and then go to sleep. Domu has to do with being quiet and going to sleep. So, read Shema, Am Shokrem, on your bed, and then go to sleep. It should be the last thing that you do. Amar of Nachman, Im Tamil Chacham Hu, Im Tzarech, but if he's a Tamil Chacham, what's significant about him? So says Rashi, because he's always learning, and he's always thinking and learning, and even in his bed, he's thinking and learning. And the Torah thoughts that he has in his head is enough to accomplish what we're looking for over here. Amar Abaye, Af Tamil Chacham, Mibayle Lameimar Chad Psuka Derachame. Even a Tamil Chacham, though, has to at least say one pasuk that elicits mercy upon himself, that deals with mercy. You could go, and for example, of such a pasuk, that even a Tamil Chacham should at least say this, is, Biyadcha Afkid Ruchi, in your hands I deposit my soul at night when I go to sleep. Padita Oti Hashem Kel Emes. You redeem me, Hashem, and let me wake up in the morning, Hashem, Kel Emes. And there's at least something that arouses the mercy of Hashem when we go to sleep and we're in danger from demons and mazikim and all different things like this. Over here, it doesn't say that the reason for Kriyat Shema Lamita is to protect us from mazikim. We're about to say that it does, but some say that the pshat of this part of the Gemara is that it's to stop somebody from having bad, impure thoughts in his bed at night or when he goes to sleep. So, saying Shema and Pesukim of Rachamim help to protect him from that. But this brought down in the Shulchan Aruch and all the other Pesukim that you're familiar with that we say in Kriyat Shema Lamita, that the Shulchan Aruch quotes all these other Prakim and Tehillim and Pesukim from around Nach that we say, that's from a Gemara in Shavuos that lists other things that Tanoim and Amoraim said before they went to sleep, along with Kriyat Shema. I'm Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. La'olam, now we're going to say another drasha from that pasuk that we learned that from the pasuk Kriyat Shema Lamita. There's something else that you can learn that from that pasuk. I'm Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. La'olam yargiz adam yetzar tov al yetzara. First, in the battle against the yetzara, you have to tremble and fight. And fight against your yetzar hara, using your yetzar tov. As the pasuk says, "Nemar rigzu ve'al techatahu." Do rigzu in order not to sin. Im nitzo, if that was enough to beat the yetzer hara, great mutav. The imla, but if not, yasok patora. Then toil in Torah learning, and that protects you also from the yetzer hara. Nemar imru bilvavchem. Say the parsha that says in it alav avecha when you're fighting the yetzer hara, meaning and. And that parsha of Alavav, not just the parsha of Kriyat Shema, but over there it says the Dibarta Bam, Peshetcha Beveitecha. So it says Vayu Advar Me'ela Alavavcha. It's referring to Divrei Torah should be Alavavcha. So Imu Bavavchem, learn Torah, and that will protect you from the Yitzhara. Im Nitzcho, if you beat the Yitzhara, good. Mutav Ve'im Lav Yikra Kriyat Shema. Then say Kriyat Shema Shenemar Amish Gavchem. Im Nitzcho Mutav. If that was enough to beat the Yitzhara, saying Kriyat Shema. Focusing you in on Hashem being the Melech of the world and Hashem Echad and Avat Hashem Chalavav Chonashem Chomadach. If that helped you, good. V'imlav Yizkor Lo Yom Amita. Then you should think about how you're going to die one day and life is fleeting and you have to be concerned about where your neshama is holding when it leaves this world. Shnemar, and that's alluded to when it says V'domu Sela. There'll be a time that you'll be quieted, that you'll be dead. And to think about that. So that's the order of the pasuk over there. It's giving you the battle plan, how to fight the Yitzhara. First try to just fight it with the Yitzhar Tov, then with Torah learning, then with Kriyat Shema, and then with thinking about the day of death. So the Mefarshim asks, if the day of death is enough And that's like the end answer, the final answer. Why don't we start with it? Some of Parshman in the Marsha says, because we don't want you to make you sad, so if you could fight the Yetzer not through sadness, through something else, good. But other Mepharshim say, no, because this is the order. It needs to be a build-up. It has to start like this and then end like this in order for that last thing to be that powerful. Now, the reason why we're bringing this down, I think, is just because we just had a teaching from Bilevi Bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, so we have another teaching from him, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. My dechtiv etna lecha et duchos ha'evan v'atorah v'amitzvah shakatavti lo rotam. We have this pasuk over here from Shmos. And it's this whole list of things. What are all these things? I'm giving you the luchos. I'm giving you the Torah. I'm giving you the mitzvah. Why does it have to say asher katavti? What does that come to add? Lo rotam, to teach them. What is that adding? All that seems to be redundant. So the pasuk is alluding to a lot of things that were given Har Sinai. It wasn't just the luchos that were given Har Sinai. Luchos is referring to Elu Aseret Adibros. Torah in the pasuk is referring to Mikra, Hamishah Chumash Torah. A mitzvah that the Torah that pasuk adds on, like mitzvah is something else. What, the mitzvahs are in the Torah? No, mitzvah zu Mishnah. All the Mishnayos were given at Har Sinai. All the teachings of the Mishnayos were given at Har Sinai. When Rabbi Yehuda Nasi put together the Mishnayos, he didn't write most of them. He was putting together what we already had passed down and organizing it and fixing it up. If there were any mistakes that had fallen into it, and what's not going to be concluded in the Shisha Sidra Mishnah, what will be included. But the Mishnayos were passed down from Har Sinai. Asher Katafti, what's that coming to add? What do I learn from those words? That's Elu Neviim Ksuvim, were also given at Har Sinai. Which is interesting, because even the prophecies that were really later on, they didn't happen yet, but the source of them, the Nevuos, already came from Har Sinai. L'horosam, Zegemara, which comes to explain the Mishnayos and teaches how to live, and all the halachos that we can learn from the Mishnayos. Melamed, we learn from this pasuk, Shekulam nitnu l'moshe mi-Sinai. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yitzhak, now we're going back to the topic of Kriyat Shema Alamita. Anybody got lost and just came to pick up here now? We're at the two dots on Hey Amud Aleph, first wide line. Am Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol HaKorei Kriyat Shema Amitaso Ki'ilu Oches Cherev Shel Shtei Pios V'yado. Anybody that says Kriyat Shema Alamita, it's like he's holding in his hand a sword that's sharp on both sides. Shtei Pios V'yado, has two mouths, two sharp sides to the sword. Shenamar, Romamos Kel Begronam. When the exaltations of Hashem are in their throat, the cherev pipios biyadam, it's like a double-edged sword in their hand. Okay, but where do you see from there? That's Kriyat Shema. My mashma, how is the mashma in the pasuk that's referring to Kriyat Shema when you're holding a double-edged sword? Amar Mar Zitra v'itim Rav Ashi, be'resha de'inyana, from a previous pasuk over there that comes right before that, in Tehillim Dechsiv, Yalzu Chasidim b'kavod, Yiranano amishkavosam. When they praise Hashem amishkavosam on their beds, and then the next pasuk is they praise Hashem on their beds. Romos kelbegronam v'cher pipios biyadam. That's like a double-edged sword. Why would you need uksib basrei? And then it says afterwards romos kelbegronam v'cher pipios biyadam. The Marsha explains why would you need a double-edged sword? Like what? What does that help you? That it's double-edged on both sides. So we're going to see tomorrow, mit Hashem, when the Gemara is going to talk about mazikim and shedim and demons, how on the Vav Amud Aleph, it talks about how the shedim are on your right and on your left, they're on both sides of you. So Moshe says, oh, that's why you need a double-edged sword, because it gets them from both sides. Okay.
I'm not referring to like a
little-edged
sword like pointing towards you.
No. Amra Yitzhak, Kolakore Kriyat Shema Alamita Mazikin Bedelim Himeno. Anybody that says Kriyat Shema, it makes mazikim run away. It like removes all mazikim and dangers and demons from him. So earlier when we spoke about what Kriyat Shema does for you, we didn't mention the demons. We just mentioned that you should say it on your bed at night. So it might not only have to do with demons, it might have to do with also saving you from bad thoughts. But here it says explicitly it's saving you from mazikim. Shenamar, ubnei reshef yagbihu uf. It's a pasuk in Iyov. We're going to end up proving now in the Gemara that B'nei Reshef is referring to Mazikim, and we're going to prove that Uf is referring to Torah. So and especially Kriyat Shema, the part of Kriyat Shema in Torah. And that's Yagbu, that lifts up the B'nei Reshef, which is the Mazikim. Now we have to prove that those words mean what I just said. V'ein Uf Ela Torah. The word Uf is referring to Torah.
Shenemar, as it says in a pasuk in Mishle about the Torah, one thing that's specific to Torah, hit'iv einecha bo ve'einenu. Remove your eyes from it for a moment, and it's not there anymore. You lose it. Rashi and Mishle says, hit'iv einecha bo, like when you close your eyes, like you close your eyelids, you fold your eyelids down, then the Torah disappears. Somebody once asked Rav Yashiv, there's a Gemara that says, Imta azveni yom yomaim azvecha. You leave me for one day, I leave you for two. If somebody doesn't learn Torah for one day, he's like 2 days away from it. It distances itself from him also. You don't learn for a day, then it moves away from you for a day. Now you're 2 days away from it. So you can never stop learning. Any stopping of learning creates a hesach hada'at, and you start to lose it. So somebody asked Yashiv, how much is a shear of hesach hada'at? For that the Torah starts to leave you. So he says like this, and then he blinked. He went like this. He pointed his eyes, and he closed his eyes, and he opened them. Like the amount that it takes to blink, that's how much you stop from learning, it starts to remove itself from you. And that we see from our Gemara, you close your eyes from it, and it starts to go away already. And Reshef is Elamazikim, Shenamar, and he quotes a pasuk from the Tochacha, the Parshas Dvarim, where he talks about different types of suffering. Mizei Ra'av is high intense levels of poverty. Rashi on the Chumash brings them, Mizei Ra'av is either referring to people whose stomachs are so bloated from famine, that he brings them unklos. And the second pshat Rashi brings from Mizei Ra'av is that mazi is the word mazia, which is hair. When people are really weak and starving, their body starts to grow hair on it. So Mizei Ra'av, they're so hungry, they're growing hair on their body. Uluchume Reshef, they're fighting against Reshef. The Ketem Mariri. And we know from elsewhere that Ketem Mariri is referring to Mazikim. And in this list it says, Lechume Reshef. So you see, and we don't know exactly what Reshef is, but since it's in the same list of things as Ketem Mariri, which is the name of one of the Shadim of Mazikim, so it makes sense to say that Reshef is Mazikim. So you see that Torah makes Mazikim run away from somebody, and specifically referring to Kriyat Shema Alamita part of Torah. And that's why some explain that the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim don't necessarily bring down that Talmid the Chachamim don't need to say Kriyat Shema Alamita. Because you're right, from the earlier Gemara, it said that Talmid the Chachamim, they're sticking Torah anyway, they don't need to say Kriyat Shema Alamita. But from this Gemara, it sounds like which part of Torah specifically Kriyat Shema Alamita, is what makes the Mazikim go away. So they also, everybody says Kriyat Shema Alamita, even Talmid the Chachamim. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Anybody that toils in Torah, before we said anybody that says Kriyat Shema, now we're saying anybody that toils in Torah, you put effort into Torah, so that makes suffering removed from you. You'll have less suffering if you toil in Torah. Shenamar, ubnei reshef yagbiu uf, ve'ein uf ela Torah. Like we said, shenamar hit'if nechabo ve'einenu. In Reshef, now we're saying Reshef could also be interpreted not just as Mazikim, but in Reshef Eli Yisurim. Shenamar, from that same pasuk in the Tochacha, Mizei Ra'av Ulechume Reshef. So since the thing earlier in that list was such levels of starvation, and that says Lechume Reshef, Lechume Reshef must be another type of intense suffering. So since Reshef is unclear, we say it refers to both what was said previously in the list, different types of suffering, and later in the list, Mazikim. And toiling in Torah removes suffering from a person. And Mefarshim explained, because in place of suffering in your life, now you're putting that suffering into toiling in Torah. And that subtracts from other types of suffering you would have when you put your suffering into trying to figure out pshat, waking up early and learning, missing breakfast, things like that. Amar Leih Rabbi Yochanan. Why do you need the pasuk in Iyov that says, B'nei Reshef Yagbiu Uf, such a complicated pasuk far away in Iyov? Even children learning in Cheder know this because it's a pasuk in Chumash. We don't need Iyov. Shenamar v'yomer im shamoa tishma l'kol Hashem lokecha v'yasha be'inav taseh v'azanta l'mitzvosav v'shamarta kol chukav. Then kol amachla asher samti b'mitzrayim lo osim alacha ki ani Hashem rofecha. All of the diseases that I put on the Egyptians in Mitzrayim, I'm not going to put upon you, because I am Hashem, your curer, your healer, your doctor. And when does that happen? If you learn the Torah and you keep Hashem's mitzvot. So it's a pasuk in the Chumash. Why do we need the pasuk in Iyov to tell me that if you learn Torah, you Yisurim go away from you? It's a pasuk in Chumash that if you learn Torah, then Yisurim go away from you. Rashi and Chumash asks, why if it says I'm Hashem your doctor, why would Hashem need to be our doctor if you already said I'm not even going to give you the diseases? Why would you need to be a doctor to cure you if you're not even going to have these diseases? So Rashi gives two explanations over there. First of all, it's like a doctor. A doctor tells you what's the right way to live to stay healthy so you don't get sick to begin with. Hashem says, learn Torah and keep mitzvos, and you're not going to suffer. And if somebody does, it's because of a lack of that. Or a second pshat that Rashi brings is that, and even if suffering or sicknesses do come upon a person, ani Hashem Rafecha, the Torah will also be able to cure the person. Ella, anyway, why do we need the pasuk in Iyov? Ella, the pasuk in Iyov is coming to add the following that we don't see in the pasuk in Chumash. Kol she'efshe lo lasuk b'Torah ve'ina osik, anybody that has an opportunity to learn Torah and doesn't, they could have, and they don't, for an illegitimate reason that doesn't pater them. They had time that they could have filled up with Torah learning. They don't fill up with Torah learning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi alav yisurin mechu'arim va'ochrin oso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon him ugly yisurin, and it makes him ugly. It makes his life difficult, painful. It's not pretty yisurin. It's not just like the simple paper cut, it sounds like. It sounds more ugly and intense than that. Shenamar, ne'elamti dumya hechsheti mitov. I was quiet, silent. And I was quiet from Tov. Tov is Torah, right? So I was quiet from Tov. I didn't learn Torah. And then what happened? Uke'evi ne'achar. My pains got ugly and worse. And how do you know that Tov in the Pasuk is referring to Torah? Ve'ein Tov ela Torah. Tov is the only thing that you could call it Tov as a noun, as a title. Shnemar, ki lekach Tov natati lechem, Torasi al ta'azovu. So Hashem refers to Torah. Another word for it was Tov. Lekach Tov, a good purchase, a good sale, I gave to you. Torati al tazavu. Now don't leave my Torah. I gave to you something good, don't leave it. But you see that Torah is called Tov. And you see that when you're quiet from Tov, from Torah, then it brings somebody terrible suffering. Now we're going to learn a lot of Gemaras and quotes now that deal with Yisurim and different levels of Yisurim and what Yisurim could mean. And these are like building blocks. There's a lot of Gemara stuff to learn about this, and there's a lot of depth behind every single line here in the Gemara, like all lines in the Gemara. We're just like, don't start to try to figure out Yisurim based on this Gemara yet. You'd have to go over this many times and learn the Mefarshim on each one of these lines to really understand Yisurim in its context. So this is just like the beginning of the process of learning about the place of Yisurim in our life. One thing that we just learned, though, is that really horrible Yisurim could come from somebody who has opportunities to learn and doesn't. Why would that happen? We're put into this world to learn Torah. If we're missing the point, Hashem has to get our attention. And that's one of the ways. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Itaim, Rabbi Chanina, Bar Papa. Now we just mentioned the pasuk of Hashem said, I gave you a good sale when I gave you the Torah. So we're going to analyze that. Bo u're'ei, shalok midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basa v'dam. The way that Hashem is not the way that human beings are. How so? What's one of the differences? Midas basav adam, a human being, adam mocher chayfetz l'chaveiro, when he sells one of his items to his friend, he's selling it because he needs to make money, but it's not because he doesn't like the item. He would rather keep the item, but he can't because he needs the money. So he sells it to his friend. So mocher atzev, the seller is sad to have to let go of his item. And the guy that purchased it, he didn't have to purchase it. He purchased it because he wanted it. So he's happy. I got that thing I wanted. That's how it is with human beings. It's not like that. Not only did he not sell it to them, he gave it to them as a present. And he's happy. He's happy. Well, you could ask, well, because it's still his and it's ours. No. When he gave us the Torah is ours now. We control the world through our keeping of the Torah and mitzvot and not. And we control the world through our learning of the Torah. And the Chachamim, if they only they could paskin shailas and give pshatim based on Torah learning. It's not in Shemayim's hands anymore to explain the Torah. He gave it to us, and it's Klal Yisrael's and the Tamid Chachamim's now to explain and use, and they're the ones in charge of pshat. And he's still happy that he gave it to us. Shenemar ki lekach tov natati lechem. Torati bat al ta'azovu. Hashem says, don't leave my Torah. Usually you sell something, you'd be very happy if the guy just gave it back. Stam. Now you got money and you have your item. Hashem says, don't give it back to me. Don't leave it. Keep the Torah. Amar Rava v'item Rav Chista. Back to Yisurim. Im roe adam shiyisurim barnalav. If you see that Yisurim are starting to come upon oneself, says the Ben Yishai, not that you're already deeply entrenched in it. Stop the process early on. You see it starting to come. Don't wait till you're deep in it. Roa Adam Shusur and Barnalev, Yefash Beish Ramasev. Right away, start to search your actions. Start to figure out, why is this happening to me? Nothing happened stam, and obviously we're doing something wrong, and we need some type of an atonement or kapara. We have to find what we're doing wrong. Shenemar Nachbachsa Drachenu V'Nachkora V'Nashuva Ad Hashem. There's a pasuk from Eicha, and that whole parak talks about suffering at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and then we say at the end of it, we're going to search out our ways and investigate them and do tshuva to Hashem. That's how we're supposed to respond to Yisurim. You see Yisurim, we start to do tshuva. Now, how are you able to figure out what sin we're doing? So since HaKadosh Baruch Hu works mida keneged mida, so we have to look at how am I suffering and how would that make sense? What could it be that I'm doing wrong? And see if it matches, and if you could find within yourself something that matches that way that you're suffering, then okay, maybe that's the sin that I'm being punished for right now. Pesh pesh v'lamatzah, he searches and he doesn't find something that he's doing wrong, or he doesn't find something that's mida keneged mida, so I can't figure out which thing it was. Yitle b'pitol Torah, so attribute it to not learning Torah that you could, when you could have learned. Shenemar asher agever asheti asrenu ka, fortunate is the man that Hashem send suffering to, and then goes and learns Torah because he realizes that it was because of his lack of Torah learning that he's suffering. So he goes back and he learns the Torah. Different ways to understand this line, and just two of the possible ways to understand this line is that if you can't find that you have any sins or anything that you're doing wrong, that can't be. Everybody has things they're doing wrong. So what? Obviously your eyes are closed. What helps to open a person's eyes to find out their flaws more? Torah learning. Learn more Torah and now go back and search yourself out again and you'll find things wrong with yourself. I think that's one of the something that the Gra gives. But also, because if Hashem is not punishing you mida keneged mida, so you can't find that you're suffering in your body parallel to something you did wrong with that body part or whatever, so then it has to be a sin that involves all of your body. This Torah learning is something that affects all of your body because you have to invest all of yourself into it, and you're tired because of it, and you're drained because of it, and your head could hurt because of it, etc. You could be hungry because of it, etc. So therefore, all of a person's body could suffer to make up for the fact that he's not investing all of his body into Torah learning. The Imtala, if he attributes it, he tries to attribute it to a lack of Torah learning, v'lo matzah, but he can't find that. I actually am learning all day, intensely. I can't find even bitul Torah by me. Who would this apply to? Biyadua, then he can know Shisurim shal avahim, that this is Yisurim shal ava. Now, all suffering that Hashem sends us obviously comes from Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu's love. But there's suffering that Hashem sends to us that's a kapara, that's meant to scour us from our sins, and that's painful because it hurts to take off a tattoo. We put on dirt, we put on a sin, and that's like a tattoo that's ingrained in you. And the process to remove a tattoo, to remove the dirt, to remove the stench of yourself is painful. And that's a kapara for the sins that we did. That we're not necessarily calling Yisurim Shel Ava. Yisurim Shel Ava, look at Rashi. Yisurim Shel Ava, in the left hand of the Gemara, Yisurim Shel Ava in the middle. Kodesh Baruch Hu miyasur ba'olam haza b'loshem avon. A person, Kodesh Baruch Hu sometimes gives somebody suffering and he doesn't have any sin. Kidei lahar bo schara ba'olam haba yoter. In order to give him more schar in the next world, even more than what his merits amount to. He has a lot of mitzvos. This now will get even more schar because of his suffering. So when Hashem is coming to scour you for your sins, that we're not calling Yisurim Shel Ava. Not because it's not a good thing. It's not Kadosh Baruch Hu loves you. When your parents, scrub a kid in the bathtub and he's screaming, it's still the parents love him and he's doing something that's good for the kid. But this is different. This is, the suffering is only coming because I want to give you even more schar than what you're deserving of right now, not because I'm scouring you from your sins. That's how Rashi explains it. Why would somebody get suffering, gets rewarded for suffering? So it could be stopped. There's a reward for suffering. But it could also be that no, because his suffering ends up bringing atonement to Klai Yisrael. He's suffering for Klai Yisrael right now because we're all like one body and one neshama. So he saves Klai Yisrael from suffering. When a gadol suffers, it brings kapara to all of Klai Yisrael. When a gadol dies, we say it's like a korban was given on behalf of all of Klai Yisrael. So maybe that's why he gets schar for protecting all of Klai Yisrael. Or it could be because now he continues to do mitzvahs. He continues to learn Torah. But when you learn Torah and you're suffering, when you do mitzvahs and you're suffering, it makes your mitzvah and your Torah that much more valuable. And that way Hashem gives him more merits in the next world by making his mitzvahs harder so that he can give him more schar for the mitzvahs that he's going to be doing anyway. So, Shene Amar, back in the Gemara, Ki es asher yohav Hashem yochiach. Hashem gives tochacha, and he gives yisurim to those that he loves. To those that he loves. And you're suffering not to look at it, Hashem is angry at me. But no, Hashem loves me, and he's trying to fix me and help me. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Huna. Kol she'kadosh baruch hu chafetz bo, medako b'yisurim. Whoever Hashem wants and loves, he crushes him with yisurim. It's a compliment when a person suffers. Shenemar, v'Hashem chafetz, who Hashem wants, dak o hachalu. He crushes him with sickness and illness. And medako specifically is a word of crush. Why doesn't it just say he gives him yisurim? Why he crushes him? Because it makes him humbler, makes him smaller, makes him littler, because he's less connected to his body, he's less connected to pleasures of this world, he's less into himself, it breaks his gaiva, and he's more unav when a person suffers. So it makes him smaller. You might think that this works even if he doesn't accept the suffering with love. Let's say he's angry and upset and complaining about these things. He doesn't accept it with love. You might think it still works. It doesn't work. It only works when you accept it with love, when you realize that Hashem loves you, and this is a good thing. Where do we see that? Talmud Lomar, because the continuation of the pasuk that says that who Hashem wants, he gives suffering to, says, Im tasim asham nafsho. Nafsho is ritzono, his will. Asham is referring to korban asham. Just like when you bring a korban asham, you have to do it, you have to do it willingly. You have to want to be bringing the korban, not against your will. So too, it has to be that you accept the suffering willingly. You accept that the suffering from Hashem. Ma asham ladaas, just like korban asham has to be brought ladaas. Af yisurim ladaas, the yisurim have to be accepted ladaas, not against your will. The im kiblam, and if you accept the suffering with love, mascharo, what's the schar for accepting suffering with love? Meaning, besides all the other benefits of the suffering that we mentioned, there's an added benefit also when you accept it with love. Also, yira zera yarech yamim, he'll have children, and he'll have a long life. That it helps him remember his Torah learning. Hashem protects his Torah learning. Probably is referring to also in the next world. That it helps him keep and retain his Torah learning. So you might think that the suffering is taken away from one's Torah, but no, because it's helping to preserve it also for the next world. Shenemar, v'chafetz Hashem, b'yado yitzlach. That which Hashem wants, which is Torah, he'll be successful. It'll stay in his hand. It'll be successful at staying in his hand. Pligi bar Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Rabbi Acha bar Chanina. Chad Amar, Elu heim Yisurim shal Ava. One of them say that this is a situation of Yisurim shal Ava. Kol she'ein behem bitul Torah. When somebody's suffering doesn't cause them to not be able to learn, then it's Yisurim shal Ava. But if it makes them not be able to learn, that can't be Yisurim shal Ava, because it's making him unable to learn, and learning is the most valuable thing. If it's making him not able to do that, it can't be Yisurim shal Ava. Shenemar, Asher agever Hashem yatzrenu ka mitorat chatam zenu. Fortunate is he that Hashem sent him Yisurim, but he's still able to learn. Mitorat chatam zenu. He's still able to learn. V'chad Amar, no. What's Yisurim shal Ava? Eluhim Yisurim shal Ava. Kol she'ein behem bitul tefila. It doesn't make him not able to daven. If he's not able to talk to Hashem anymore, that can't be Yisurim shal Ava if it takes away his ability to daven. But if he can still daven, then it is Yisurim shal Ava. Shnemar, Baruch Elokim. Fortunate is when Hashem acts us with Midas Hadin, Elokim. Asher lo heisir tefilasi. When is din good? When it doesn't remove my ability to daven, lo heisir tefilasi. V'chasto me'iti. And then that's a chesed from Hashem. That's just a pure act of love when he gives me Yisurim that doesn't take away from my ability to daven. Amalahu Rabbi Abba b'rei d'Rabbi bar Abba. Rabbi Abba said back to both of those Amara'im that said it's only Yisurim Sha'ava when it doesn't take away from your learning, or it doesn't take away from your tefillah. He argues and he says, Hachi Amar Rabbi Chia bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. No. This is what Rabbi Chia bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan said. Elu ve'elu Yisurim Sha'ava. Even if it makes you not able to learn, and even if it makes you not able to daven, it's still Yisurim Sha'ava. And the Pnei Yeshua explains, because it's not his fault that he can't learn. It's not his fault that he can't daven. And then therefore, he feels bad that he can't learn and he can't daven. Therefore, Hashem gives him schar as if he learned and as if he davened. Because when you can't do a mitzvah because it's out of your control, you still get the reward for that mitzvah. So it can't be that it wouldn't be Yisurim Sha'ava, says the Pnei Yeshua. Shenemar, Yet Hashem Yohav Hashem Yochiyeh. Those that Hashem loves, he gives Yisurim to. Okay, fine. But then what's the pshat in the pasuk? The pasuk says, fortunate is the man that suffers but still can learn Torah. And lamata malomu mitorat chatam denu, but he still learns Torah. So the pshat's not what we said earlier. Ella, Sorry. Al tikre tilamdenu. Don't read it. Don't pronounce it tilamdenu, and he still gets to keep on learning the Torah. Ella tal midenu. The Torah teaches us this idea. The Torah teaches us that it's fortunate to get Yisurim. The Yisurim are good for you. Where do we see that in the Torah? Ella talamadenu. Davar zeh mitoratcha talamadenu. The Torah teaches us that Yisurim are good for you. Kal v'chomer mishen v'ayin. An Eved Kanani goes free if his owner and his master knocks out his tooth or knocks out his eye. He goes free now. Mashen v'ayin shen echad me'evar sh'adam. A tooth or an eye is only one of his organs that doesn't work or hurts right now. And Eved Yotze Behem Lecheros, and Eved Kanani goes free when the master does that to him. Yisurim, when Hashem sends us Yisurim, our master Hashem sends us Yisurim, Shememarkin Kogufo Sha'adam, that it scours all of the person's body, not just one limb or organ. Al Achas Kama Vakama, that it frees him from his sins, from the shackles of his sins, from the shackles of punishment, and it's a great kapara suffering. And we see that Kavachom of Hashem V'ayim. The Hainu to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, that's similar to what Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, the Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. He has a different source in the Torah. Namar bris b'melech. It uses the term bris, covenant, when it comes to putting salt on the mizbeach with the korbanosh. Namar bris b'yisurim. It also uses the word bris, covenant, when it talks about yisurim in the psukim. Namar bris b'melech. Where does it say the word bris b'melech? V'lo tash bris melech bris. Don't let there not be salt on the Mizbeach ever. It shouldn't be Shabbos. It shouldn't be not on the Mizbeach. The Melech of the Bris. V'namar Bris B'Yisurim D'chsiv Eila Divrei HaBris. At the end of the Tochacha, which talks about all different types of suffering, it says Eila Divrei HaBris. So the word Bris is used in connection to suffering. Ma Bris HaAmar B'Melech Melech Mamteket at the Basar, just like salt, which is written by just like salt sweetens the meat, makes the meat better, tastes better, and it gets the blood out of it, makes it taste better. Ah, bris, ha'amar b'yisurim, so too bris, which is written by yisurim, yisurim ha'markin kolavanos ha'sha'adam. It scours the sins out of a person, therefore makes the person sweeter. It makes the person better. When you see somebody that suffers and accepted it with love the right way, you see he's a better person. He's sweeter, he's nicer, he's kinder. He's just on a higher level than everybody else. And Yisurim does that to a person just like it does that to me. What time is it?
9:17.
Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Omer. Shalosh matanos tovos natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYisrael. There's three presents, just pure good. They're all spiritual. They're not physical, so they're forever. Three good things that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to us, but he only gives it to us through Yisurim. You need to pay the price for it is Yisurim. Eluhain, Torah, one can't really be Kone Torah without suffering. It doesn't come easy and comfortable and smooth. V'eretz Yisrael, V'olam Haba. Torah minai, where do we see that? The Torah, that's true. Shenemar, Asher, Gever, Shetei, Asrein, Duka. And then, only if you first have Yisurim, then you really could learn Torah properly. Eretz Yisrael, Dechsiv, but you could have that suffering come through your Torah learning. Eretz Yisrael, Dechsiv, Ki Ka'asher, Yiyaser, Isha, Pano, Hashem, Elokechem, Yisrecha. Just like a person gives his son suffering to make him better, Hashem send suffering, and the next pasuk is Uksiv Basrei Ki Hashem Elokecha Meviacha El Eretz Tova. Hashem brings you to a good land. So the land is called Tova. It's a matana. It's a present. But to get it, you have to go through Yisurim. Maybe this is an example or a little taste of it. But the Holocaust happened, and then right afterwards, after 2,000 years of not being in Eretz Yisrael, we came back to Eretz Yisrael that came with terrible Yisurim beforehand. Ha'olam Haba Dichsiv. Kiner mitzvah b'torah or the derech chayim. How do you get chayim, eternal life? Tochachos musar. Musar referring to yisurim, suffering. So to get olam haba, one needs to suffer. So no one can go through life without suffering, unless there's nothing waiting for them. Tani tana kamid Rabbi Yochanan. A tana taught in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Kala osek b'torah ubegemilas chasadim. V'kover as banav, mochlan lo akolav enosav. anybody. Now it's a machlokes in the mefarshim if it's any one of these, or you need all three of them, or we'll give another pshat soon. But anybody that toils in Torah, toils in gemilas chasadim, doing chesed, and Rachmana Litzlan buries his sons, mochlen lo akol v'nosav, he gets a mechila for all of his sins. All of his sins. He's clean. Tzadik gamur. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, bishlama Torah gemilas chasadim. That I hear, I know the source that you're referring to for Torah gemilas chasadim. Dechsiv, bechesed ve'emes, yichuper avon. With chesed and with emes, a sin is atoned for. And now we're going to prove that that's referring to gemilas chasadim in Torah. Chesed zu gemilas chasadim shenamar rodev tztaka v'chesed yim tzachayim tztaka v'kavod. Wait a second. I need a pasuk to tell me that chesed means chesed. And the pasuk tells me that chesed means chesed. And the pasuk still just says chesed here. It doesn't say gemilas chasadim over here. So what is going on over here? So in the Ein Yaakov it says, no, we're trying to show that chesed is not referring to tzedakah over here, or tzedakah is a chesed. It's not referring to giving somebody from your money. It's giving to somebody from your guf. Exerting energy and effort and sacrifice to give to others, not just giving them money. That's what we're referring to that atones for sin in such a major way. And what's the proof for that? How do we know the chesed in the pasuk is referring to gemilas chasadim? Because it says, rodev tzedakah v'chesed. Tzedakah is money. Chesed stam is referring to gemilas chasadim. Yim tzachayim tzedakah v'kavod. Emes du Torah. How do we know that emes is referring to Torah? Shnemar. Emes kinei ve'al timkor. When in Mishlei wants to refer to Torah, it refers to it also as the word emes. Acquire Torah and never sell it back. Keep it and never let go of it. And it's something you have to buy. Meaning even if it costs money for you to know Torah, you have to pay somebody to teach you, you have to pay for a yeshiva, or you have to pay for somebody to teach your son. Whatever it is, if to get Torah you have to pay money, pay for it. If it makes you have to make less money, that's also part of paying for Torah. Ella Kover is banav minayin. Rabbi Yochanan said, I know the source for Torah Gemilas Chasadim. What's the source for somebody that buries their sons? Tana le Ahu Saba Bishumba Bishumba Yochai. So Ahu Saba, and Mefarshim explained that Ahu Saba very often, if not always, refers to Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi taught in the name of Rabbi Shimba Yochai. That where do we know that somebody that buries their sons gets an atonement for all their sins? Atya avon avon. We learn out Gzer Shava from the word avon avon. Ksiv hacha v'chesed v'emes yichupar avon. It says that v'chesed v'emes you get a kapar for your avon, for your sins. Ksiv hasam, and it talks about when sons die, it says, u'meshalim avon avos elchek b'nehem. Hashem sometimes reimburses the sins of the father on their children by having their children be removed from this world. So and says avon avon. So just like Milcha Sadam and Torah bring an atonement for all the sins, so too when somebody loses their sons. So some say another parish is that Torah and Milcha Sadam need to come together to get a full atonement. But when somebody buries their sons, that's enough by itself. That's another one of the question. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Negaim Ubanim Eina Nisurim Shal Ava. There's two types of things that if it's this type of suffering, that's not Yisurim Shal Ava. Negaim is Tzara'as, different types of Tzara'as. And Banim is losing one's kids, we're thinking right now. I think you close the door for a second. Negaim lo. Negaim Tzara'as is not Yisurim Shal Ava. But we have a brisa that seems to imply that it is Yisurim Shal Ava. V'hatanya, kol mi sheyesh bo echad me'arba maros negaim halalu einan elam is be'a kapara. Anybody that has one of the four types of tzara'as, all it is a mizbeach kapara. It's an atonement like the mizbeach. Wait a second, but we just said kapara isn't Yisurim Shal Ava. Yisurim Shal Ava is one thing, getting kapara is something else. So the Mefarshim explained that what the thought of the Gemara is that no, that it's happening to him not to for a kapara for his own sins. He's a mizbeach kapara for Klai Yisrael, just like the mizbeach brought kapara to Klai Yisrael. So he's been kapara to Klai Yisrael, and that way it would be Yisurim Shal Ava, like we explained in Rashi. Yisurim Shal Ava could be he's getting more schar because he's being kapara for all of the rest of Klai Yisrael. That's why he gets more schar. So that's what we think that Negaim might be over here, because it says that whoever has Negaim, it's like a mizbeach kapara. So the Gemara though answers though, no, not even that. Mizbeach kapara havu, Yisurim Shal Ava, lo havu. You're right that it's a mizbeach kapara, but it doesn't mean that negarim are yisurim shal ava. It could be a mizbeach kapara for the guy's sins, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's referring to yisurim shal ava. So we don't have a question of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says stands that negarim is not yisurim shal ava. V'bayisema, or we can give another teretz that sometimes negarim is yisurim shal ava, sometimes negarim is not yisurim shal ava. Halan v'halahu. Depends. One is for the people of Eretz Yisrael. One is for the people of Bavel. The way Rashi explains this is that since in Eretz Yisrael, someone that has tzaras is kicked out of the city and has to be michutz l'machane because the cities are kept kadosh, so that's not Yisurim Shal Ava. But in Bavel, where having tzaras doesn't make somebody have to be removed from the machane, then tzaras could be Yisurim Shal Ava. Or maybe this is the chilek of when tzaras is Yisurim Shal Ava, when it's not. It depends where the nega tzaras is. If it's in a private area that only he knows about and could see under his clothes or whatever it is, so then it's Yisurim Shal Ava. But if it's embarrassing and public, so then it's not Yisurim Shal Ava. Ubanim lo, what? Losing one's sons, it's not Yisurim Shal Ava? Hey Chidami, what's the case? When we say that somebody suffers with sons, what are we talking about? If you're talking about a case where he had sons and then they died, but that can't be not Yisurim Shal Ava. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had 10 sons and they all died, one after the other, in horrible ways. And the last one, by falling into a boiling pot of water and burning alive, boiling alive and dying. And to give chizik to people whose children died, he used to go around with a bone from his last son and show it to suffering families and said, Dain Grama, this is the bone, the Asira'a Bir, of my 10th son. All my 10 sons, this is the bone of the 10th son. You see that losing sons is Yisurim Shal Ava. And Yochanan went around showing people that to give them chizuk. It's interesting because so many of the things that were said about suffering and even, especially the ones about children dying, were a lot of them were said about Rabbi Yochanan or said to Rabbi Yochanan. So assuming it's the same Rabbi Yochanan, so now we see in light of this part of his life story, it makes a lot more sense. And also Stam, whenever the Gemara tells stories with the Tanam and Amaram, you see they had really difficult suffering in their life. And now every time you learn Rabbi Yochanan throughout Shas, you should have an even another higher level of like, wow, he's on such a high level of Torah and everything. And look at the suffering that he went through, son after son after son. And look at where he got to. Ella. So anyway, it is Yisurim Shal Ava. So what's the banim that Rabbi Yochanan himself said? Rabbi Yochanan himself is the one that said that Negaim and banim are not Yisurim Shal Ava. But he says that, but look, you see, he carried on the bone of his 10th son. And he said that to show that that is Yisurim Shal Ava. So no, so the Gemara answers, Ella, one is a case where somebody, they never had children, and one is where he had children, but they died. Never having children is not Yisurim Shal Ava, that's what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, but having children and then losing them, that would be Yisurim Shal Ava. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Chalash, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba once got very sick and weak. Ola Gabei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan went to visit him. Amalei, Rabbi Chiya asked him, Chavivin Alecha, sorry, Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Chiya, Chavivin Alecha Yisurim, is the Yisurim beloved to you? Do you love the fact that you're suffering? Amalei, Lohain, is there a shit here now?
No.
Lohain, Velo Scharan. No, not the suffering and not the reward of the suffering. I don't want the suffering and I don't want the reward that comes with the suffering. Amalei, Havli Yadcha, so then give me your hand. Yav Layada, he gave him his hand, V'ukme, and he pulled him up and he got up and he was completely better. So this, we can't rush through such a Gemara, but we have to rush through such a Gemara. But why didn't he want the Yisurim? With all the good things we just said about Yisurim, so why didn't he want it? Why didn't he want the schar of it? Some of the Mepharshim saying it was getting in the way of his Torah learning, and even with all the value of Yisurim, but he could not learn Torah. He wanted to be able to learn Torah, and he's ready to forgo the schar for the Yisurim, but he wanted to be able to learn Torah. Rabbi Yochanan Chalash, one day Rabbi Yochanan himself, the one that just cured Rabbi Chiya, he was once sick. Alag abei Rabbi Chanina went to visit him. Amalei chavivin alach yisurim, Rabbi Yochanan, do you want these yisurim? Are they beloved to you? Amalei lo hein velo schara. No, I don't want these yisurim. I don't want the schara of these yisurim. Still, it's a difficult gemara. You have to really look deeper into it. Why didn't they want it? It's such a valuable thing, yisurim. Amalei hav liyadcha. Okay, so then give me your hand. Yav liyadcha, he gave him his hand, v'ukme, and he pulled him up, and he was better. Wait a second. Why did Rabbi Yochanan need Rabbi Chanina to make him better? Lukim Rabbi Yochanan Lenafshe. Why does Rabbi Yochanan pick himself up like he just did in the previous story to Rabbi Chiya? Rabbi Yochanan cured Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Yochanan cured himself. Amrei, so they answered, Ein chavush matir atzmo mibeisa asurim. A prisoner can't free himself from jail. He needs somebody from the outside to get him out of the jail. Rabbi Yochanan could cure others. He can't cure himself. It has to be coming from somebody else. And the first man asks, what do you mean? But we know that the tefillah of a chola on himself is more powerful than people davening for the chola. So Rabbi Yochanan couldn't daven for himself, but this is talking about curing oneself, not through tefillah. This is a different type of way of curing. Nobody davened here. He gave him his hand. They lifted him up. It's some higher spiritual thing, which, by the way, there's a crazy story with a shtemen. Somebody tells over that happened to him with them. There were witnesses. He had fallen downstairs, broke his back, hurt his back terribly, couldn't move. A shtemen came to visit him, gave him his hand, instead asked him something, whatever, gave him his hand, and picked him up in his bed, and his back didn't hurt anymore. That was only like a few decades ago.
Who's that?
What? One of his, like, chavrusas or something. It's crazy. Rabbi Lezer chalash. Rabbi Lezer was once sick and weak. Ala gabei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan went to visit Rabbi Lezer. Chaza dehavek agani bebeis afel. He saw that Rabbi Lezer was lying in a dark, dark, dark house, pitch black. Galye ladari, Rabbi Yochanan revealed his arm, uncovered his arm, v'nafa nahora, and light fell into the room. Chazid dehava kabachi, and now he saw Rabbi Lezer, because there's light in the room, and he saw that Rabbi Lezer is crying. I'm like, amai kabachis? Why are you crying? Imishum Torah delo afshes, if you're crying because you didn't learn enough Torah, you wished you learned more Torah. Shaninu, but we learned. Echad amarba ve'echad amamit ubavachi chavin libo l'shamayim. It doesn't matter how much you cover and how much you accomplish, whether somebody does a lot or somebody does a little, as long as he had kavana l'shem shamayim and he tried his hardest. You tried your hardest. So why should you cry about your Torah? V'imishu mezonei, and if it's because you don't have food and you're poor and you don't have things in this world, lo kol adam zochah l'shtei shachanas. Not everybody is zochah to have two tables, a table in this world and a table in the next world, to both have a great life, a comfortable life here and a comfortable life in the next world. Most people don't have that. So why are you crying? It's not something you should have expected. The imishum bane, and if it's because your sons that maybe died, dein grema dasira up here. Look, this is the bone of my 10th son. So you see, it's yisurim sha'ava. So why are you crying? Amalei, you're right. I'm not crying for any one of the reasons you just gave. I'm crying for the following. Lahai shifra debali ba'afra. For that beauty of you, your beauty, that you were just able to uncover your arm and light the whole room, and your kedusha and your high level, well, look, maybe in Rashi, debali ba'afra, that one day is going to wither in the dirt. One day you're going to be buried. You're not going to always be here. Kabachina. That's why I'm crying. Amalei, and he said, Alda, on that vade kabachis. That you for sure could cry for. Ubachu tarvayu. And they both started crying together. There's obviously so much depth here. I'm not even explaining it. I'm just being mefarish. I'm just explaining to you the words. Depth over here, there's a lot of what's going on exactly over here. But we have to continue. Adach ibahachi. In the meantime, Amalei, Chaviv and Alachi Yisurim of Yochanan. Is this Yisurim? No, sorry. Rabbi Yochanan Tetra Belezer. Do you love these Yisurim? Amalei, Lohein velo scharan. Amalei, Havli Yadcha, give me your hand. Yavli Yadiv Ukman. He picked them up. Can we continue, or do you guys need to go to preach it? Continue? Rav Huna, Takifulei, Arba Mea, Dani Dechamra. Whoa. Look at this terrible thing that once happened to Rav Huna. It spoiled for him 400 barrels, Dani are barrels of Chamra, of wine. 400 barrels of wine spoiled. That's a lot of business. All the Gabei Rabbi Yehuda, Achved Rav Sala Chasida. Rabbi Yehuda, the brother of Rav Sala Chasida, went up to visit Rav Huna, who just lost so much money. V'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan came with him. V'Amrila, and some say, who was it? Rav Adabar Hava V'Rabbanan, that went to visit him. We're so exact and precise. We're telling over stories. It's not stam chassidish stories that you could change around the facts. Mom, this is a litvish story that we're all the details, it didn't get all the people right. Vamulei, and they said to him, you know, you lost so much money, and you're such a big rav, it doesn't happen stam. La'ayin mar b'milei. Rebbe should look into all of his matters and try to figure out why Hashem did this to him. Duchesh b'na nefesh. Amalei said to them, do you suspect me? You're suspectful of me? Amulei, mi chashi kutcha brichu da avid dina v'lo dina. Are you suspicious of Hashem that he does judgment and hurts people without it being justful? Obviously, he had a reason. You have to figure it out. Amalui said to them, if somebody heard something about me that I did wrong, so tell me. Obviously, when they came to him, they think they knew what the reason this happened to him was, and he wasn't doing anything about it, and they wanted to hint it to him. They didn't want to tell him outright, so they said, maybe look at all the things you're doing and try to figure it out, but they knew what it was, and he didn't know, so he said, so tell me. So Amrle, they said to him, Hachi Shmielan, this is what we heard. Delo Yahiv Mar Shabisha La Arise. You didn't, an Aris is somebody that like works for you and is supposed to get a certain percentage of the fruits of his labor. And you're not giving Shabisha, you're not giving these types of vines or whatever it is, whatever he's supposed to be able, his chelek, Rashi says, in the vines that he's supposed to be getting in his job. You're not paying him, letting him take what he's supposed to. Amalu, he said to them, Mika shavikli midi mine? Does he leave, shavik is to leave. Does he leave me anything midi? Is anything from those vines? Hakag haniv le kule. He's stealing from me all of it. He's a ganav. My aris, my worker is a ganav. He's stealing all the produce, taking more than he deserves to have. And I'm supposed to also pay him? So what am I doing wrong? Amrle, they said to him, Hanu da amre incha, yeah, what you're saying right now is like what people say. Butter gan vaganov. When you go after a robber and steal from him, you're tasting the taste of geneva. You're tasting what he tasted. It's also a type of geneva on some level when you steal from a ganav. And the Marsha says, and it's an even more tasty type of geneva. Because a real ganav, one day is not going to have to pay double, or going to have to pay arba b'chamisha. So he's always worried and scared he's going to get caught. But when you steal from a robber, you feel completely good. You're not afraid of anything. You feel like you're doing the right thing. So it's even tastier type of geneva. Mefarshim explained, he shouldn't have taken the matter into his own hands. He should have brought this to Beis Din, taken this guy to Beis Din. Maybe he doesn't have to pay him those vines, but go to Beis Din. Don't just trust your own judgment. Maybe you're biased. Everybody has to go to Beis Din and ask a rav. Amalahu, they said to him, he said to them, Kabilna alai diyahivnalei. I take upon myself now that I'm going to give him all those vines. And then everything got better. He got his money back. How? Two opinions. Some say, Hadar Chala v'Hava Chamra. Some say that it re-unspoiled and became wine again. Chala is vinegar. The vinegar went back, v'Hava Chamra became wine again. That's an outright miracle. Doesn't go that way usually. But those say, no, it wasn't in an outright miraculous way. It was Iker Chala, the Izdabin B'demei Chamra. Iker is to go up in value. Vinegar, suddenly the price of the vinegar went up, and he was able to sell it for the price of wine. But it's almost irrelevant what happened. In other words, both of them are a miracle, and both of them are Kadosh Baruch Hu controlling one's money. Hashem gets you money and takes money away from you in roundabout ways too. You don't have to see outright miracles. The prices of something go up, and that's also how he got money to you. Keep on reading. Tanya, Ava Binyamin Omer, Ashnei Dvar Mahiti Mitzar Kol Yamai. There's two things that I pained myself over to make it this way my whole life. And it wasn't always easy. Al Tfilati Shetehe Lifnei Mitasi, that my tefillah should be in front of my bed, before my bed. And what the Gemara is going to explain, what does that mean, my tefillah should be before my bed? And second thing is, V'amitasi Shetehe Netuna Bein Tzafam L'Darom, and that my bed should be facing from north to south. And this is brought down the Shulchan Aruch that the head of one's bed should be facing north and the feet of the one's bed should be facing the south or the other way. Some people say it doesn't matter, but the main point is that it doesn't face east and west, but it faces north and south. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down that even though the Zohar says a different thing, he says to make it east and west, but the Gra explains that the Zohar agrees with our Gemara, and everybody should make sure that their bed is going from north to south. Al tefilati shetei lifnei mitasi. What does that mean? That my bed, my tefillah should be before my bed. My lifnei mitasi. Ilema lifnei mitasi mamesh. I should daven in front of my bed. I made sure to daven that way. I made sure that my davening should be before my bed. But you can't daven with your bed in front of you. Hamarav Yehuda, Hamarav, Vitaim Rabbi Shub and Levi, Minayin Lemispasha, Lo Yehi Dever Chotzitz, Benola Ben Akir. Where do we know that something that's saying Shemona Esrei should not have a chatzitza, should not have a blockage, a separation between him and the wall, just be him, and then there's a wall in front of him, nothing else in between. Shneamar V'yosef Chizkiyahu Panav Alakir, when the Nevi'im explain how Chizkiyahu daven, that he turned to the wall, V'yispalel. Why are we talking about the wall? Because there can't be any thing separating between you and the wall at the time of Shemona Esrei. This is brought down as halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. So you can't daven with your bed in front of you. Look in Tosfos. Shleihei davar chotetz benola ben akir. Ava milta de kviya, something that's set in its place. It's like planted in furniture, like a bookcase or something like that. And the Shulchan Aruch says, the Beis Yosef says, like our beds nowadays, we don't move them around. Our beds are heavy. They stay in place. So it's like fixed furniture. So our bed nowadays wouldn't be a problem. It just, they had something that was more like our chairs that are like moved around all the time. So that shouldn't get in between you and the wall. But or let's say there's like tables, like you're in a base midrash or a shul where the furniture always stays put. It's not moved around. That wouldn't be a chatzitza. Could go in aron b'teva inza hefsek. V'amita nirasha inza kavua. Amita in those days wasn't kavua and therefore it was a chatzitza. Nowadays it wouldn't be a chatzitza, a bed. Back into the Gemara. Ela ema. So what is the pshat? And I made sure my tefillah was before my bed. Ela ema samuch. Limitasi, close to, right after I get out of bed. Some explain this Gemara as referring to Shacharis. Right after he woke up, he made sure that Shacharis was right afterwards. And some people say he's talking about Marv, that he made sure to daven right before he went to sleep and then went right to sleep right after davening. But he made his tefillah samach limitasi. Look in Rashi. Samach limitasi. Kol yamai nizharti shalalasos malacha v'shalalasok v'torah. I always made sure to go straight from waking up. I didn't do any work, and I didn't toil in Torah until I right away first said Kriyat Shema and Davin. I wanted to be that the closest thing to waking up was Kriyat Shema and Davening, and not Malacha and not learning. How does Rashi know to throw learning in over there? Maybe just working. And the Malacha is you could learn as long as you make Birchas Torah. But why do you think that? Because he said this was hard for him. It wouldn't have been hard for him to not start working, but it was hard for him not to learn. And my bed should be facing that direction. Anybody that has their bed facing that way, they're going to have boys, boy children. If it's in the tzafon, if it's in the north, their bellies will be filled up and they'll be stationed with sons. Not only that, but his wife also won't miscarry. So it's really important to keep one's bed in that direction. His wife doesn't miscarry. Where do we learn it from? If it's in the north, the belly will be filled up. And it says about Rivka, Bevitna also says here, but she carried the pregnancy all the way to the end, and the twins made it out, and she didn't. Have a miscarriage, and that. So we learned from that connection in the psukim that it also was that a woman shouldn't miscarry. Look in Tosos, kol hanuti mitasa ben tzafon ladarom. The last Tosos, a person puts his bed from north to south. Below ben mizrach l'marav, v'davka kashiyashinim ishto. Tosos says only when he's sleeping with his wife, that applies. Mepnei shechina mitzuya ben mizrach l'marav, because the shechina is a mizrach l'marav, so it's more appropriate that the abia facing in the other direction. It would have been not right facing the Shekhinah like that. And that's also how it's mashma in the Pesukim. In the Shulchan Aruch, though, that's what he says, that a husband and his wife, then that's the direction that they have to face in, their bed should be facing in. However, he brings in also the opinion of the Rambam, where the Rambam says that even a single guy, not married, whenever he's sleeping, his bed should be facing that direction. And he says it's a positive thing to try to be makbid, that even that everyone should have their bed facing in that direction. Okay, shkoyach. Is it okay if tomorrow, I'm not going to be here tomorrow night, and I'm taking my kids to the Siyam HaShas, it's like the biggest one in Israel is tomorrow night. Could we do it in the morning again? Tomorrow morning?